to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 38. It's actually the first episode of 2014, so I want to take a moment and make sure that you guys had a fantastic holiday season and wish you the very best in 2014. We got a lot of great things coming this year. We'll be announcing throughout the course of these next couple of months, but really excited to have you back for another year. And will do my best to continue to bring you great content, great speakers. And today's no different. You know, today we have Pat Ivey, the Associate Director of Human Performance at Missouri. Pat has been there pretty much his whole career. You know, he started there as a player, came back as a graduate assistant, even spent a little bit of time as an intern, went off to be the director at Tulsa, and then has been back at Missouri and just doing some really phenomenal things. And so we get into his staff development and how he picks it and chooses his staff. If you've been to any clinic in the country, you've seen, you know, his staff about freaking 20 strong sitting in the first two rows of a conference, and you know, the epitome of professionalism, and they do a great job. We talk a little bit about how he's been able to get the athletic administration on his side, both in a trust standpoint as well as resources allocated to his department. And then we talk, you know, about why he chose to go back to school to get a doctorate degree in sports psychology and how that's benefiting his athletes. And so it's he's a really neat guy, doing some phenomenal things. And obviously, if you look at the coaches that have come out of there and gone on, as well as how his teams are doing on the court or in the field, it's no coincidence, in my opinion. And so I know you're going to get a lot out of this episode. As always, we want to take some time and recognize our sponsors of the show. This year we have multiple sponsors. Ignition APG has come on board, and I'm excited to talk about them. But today's episode is brought to you by Elite Form. Elite Form is a technology-based company in Nebraska that has done some phenomenal things. If you've gone to a conference, you've seen the rack with the iPad-looking device with the camera attached to it that measures velocity and power output, and you know, just doing some really cool things. And so when I was walking through, instantly felt like it was a game changer when it came to visual feedback for the athletes, their ability to be able to see themselves in real time, you know, after the lift, being able to go back and check it out. But, you know, our athletes, they learn auditorily, they learn kinesthetically, and they also learn by sight. And so it's such an important tool, and people have been doing it different ways. But what's great about Elite Form is they have taken the technology a step further and using algorithms based with camera technology, they're able to measure velocity and power output and be able to give that information back to you in real time. And so if you have not checked them out, if you're going to the NSCA clinic, make sure you stop by the booth, tell them what we sent you. And if you are interested in checking out more about their information, go to IGCT, Iron Game Chalk Talk, IGCT at eliteform.com, and they'll send you some information as well as give you a 30-day trial of their strength planner, which is an awesome piece of cloud-based software used to be able to design training templates. And so they'll do that as well as give you access to be able to broadcast it out to your athletes as well using their mobile devices. So, you know, definitely worth checking out. When we were looking at it at Tennessee, they came out, we put it in. They came out to demonstrate it. I brought our head coach down, and instantly he was excited about it, and we had to have it. And we had to have it before the next recruiting visit. It's that much of a game changer. So I'll be bringing you lots of information about Elite Form as we go, but reach out to them using IGCT at eliteform.com and get some more information as well as your free trial of their strength planner. We also want to make sure that you know that you can subscribe to Iron Game Chalk Talk either on YouTube by going to our YouTube page and subscribing there, or going to iTunes, We're now on iTunes and downloading there. If you go to either one of those, download the latest episodes, subscribe, and leave a rating and review, as that helps me continue to bring this information to all the strength coaches out there. So enough about all that. I know you're going to get a ton out of Pat's episode. Sit back and enjoy this. Make sure you got a pad ready to take a lot of notes, and we'll see you on the flip side. All right, guys, we're here with Pat Ivey. Very excited to have him on the show. He's down at bowl practice. This guy's got it done this year in the SEC and just got out of bowl practice, so we're stealing a little bit of his time. So we're not going to take too much because you got some family time for the rest of the night. But, Coach, appreciate you being on, man.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate everything that you do. This is awesome for all the professionals in what we do, and this is a great thing. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Hey, Pat, go a little bit into, you know, your journey. I mean, I know, you know, we've talked several times, but, you know, let everybody know why Pat Ivey chose to be a strength and conditioning coach.
Well, I would have to go back from where I'm from. I'm from Detroit, inner city, and just weights overall in general was necessary for my survival, just for me to make it to school and back. You know, I had to start lifting weights to protect myself. And it just became something that, you know, I was a football player. So I went to Missouri. I played at Missouri. At one point, I was the strongest player in Missouri history. I was one of the weakest guys probably in high school. And Eventually, you know, that just motivated me to be better. And I reminisce about lifting three times a day in high school, waking up in the morning at 5:30 in the morning, lifting at school, coming back home, lifting at home. For me, it was about survival. And I knew I had to get stronger mentally, physically, just to make it to school and back.
Right.
And eventually, that led to playing football in college and had a short career playing in the NFL, played for four different NFL teams, and came back. I was actually sharing this story not too long ago. Someone asked me, you know, how did I get started? And I was with the Denver Broncos, and I got cut on Monday. But that previous Sunday, our defensive line coach here at Missouri, Curtis Jones Sr., Corby Jones's dad, had an attack and passed away the day before camp started here at Missouri.
Oh, wow.
And that happened 2 days before I was released. I talked to the head coach, Coach Larry Smith, who passed away here recently a few years ago, and said, "Coach, you know, I just got cut. I'm tired of this. I've been cut a few too many times. I'm ready to get my life started." Hurry up and get back here. And my first assignment that Friday, I drove back that Thursday. I drove back that Wednesday, met with Coach Smith that Thursday. My first assignment was picking up Dan Devine from the airport in St. Louis because he was flying in town for Coach Jones's funeral.
Oh,
and so what Coach Smith said, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do with my staff yet. But obviously, you know, he had an opening, unfortunately. He said he didn't know if he was going to move Dave Toe, who's now the head special teams coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, to the D-line coach, move Donnie Summer, who's at TCU, from assistant strength coach to head strength coach and create a graduate assistant position for me in the weight room, or if he was going to move one of the football GAs to another position coach to the defensive line, and then create a graduate assistantship for me on the football side. So it was really up to Coach Smith.
Right.
What he decided to do with his staff, and that's, I was going to do whatever.
Fate intervened, huh? So,
yeah, that's what happened. So within a week of me getting released and picking Dan Devine up and going to the funeral on Saturday, that Monday I was working. I was a full-time graduate assistant. I had the entire track team. I had the wrestling team, the baseball team. I was training all the responsible for training the red shirt guys. We call it the gun club back then. We still call it that now. Here in Mizzou, I didn't know how to use Excel. I didn't know how to write a program. I knew how to lift weights. And basically just that feeling of wanting to learn and get better and wanting to be the best at something just kind of drove me. And Missouri's always taken care of me. And I'm one of Missouri's sons. And it's a special place for me. This is where I went to school. So it means a lot every time I come to school and every time I go to work every day.
Well, that's awesome. You went on to you cut your teeth at Tulsa for a little bit, right? And then came back to Missouri.
Yes. So I was a graduate assistant. And I actually went, I was a graduate assistant and I worked out for Green Bay. I did well enough. They wanted to sign me. I gave up my graduate assistantship only to get cut again. And back in Missouri, I had to intern. Now I had a basically given up all of my time, for nothing.
Right.
And, for a chance to get a graduate assistantship back, which I did in January. They hired me full time in April. And I was a full-time assistant for a year and a half. Then I was the director at Tulsa for 2002 to 2003, those two seasons. We had the largest turnaround in the nation in 2003. Then in 2004, I came back to Missouri. And so I've been back in Missouri. I was a director of strength and conditioning, promoted to assistant athletic director, and to most recently associate athletic director for athletic performance.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that's what a testament to what we're all about right there. I mean, you know, you were an athlete, you're inner city Detroit, you come to, you know, Missouri, you fall in love with football and the weight room and everything that, you know, comes about. Had some great mentors both on the football side and in the strength, you know, in the weight room. You know, go off and then come back and you're doing exactly what most people only dream about doing, staying at one place for the most part, most of their career. And so what a great story. You know, one of the things that I respect the most about you, and I've even sought you out before and talked about it, was how, you know, tight, committed, educated, loyal your staff is. You know, you spend a lot of time and you know, and when you first got to Missouri, it wasn't the situation. I know it wasn't, you know, you didn't have 900 strength coaches running around. You had maybe one or two. You know, now you go to a strength and conditioning clinic and you see the Missouri strength and conditioning staff about 30 strong sitting in the first two rows. You know, talk a little bit about what your philosophy was with building the staff, and then how have you been able to make it such a strong and unified unit?
Well, I think I go back to how I came into this business. My strength coaches meant everything to me. Dave told Donnie Summer. Donnie Summer, he's the godfather of my two girls. You know, this strength and conditioning has meant a lot to me. Like I said, it was survival. It's how I looked at it as survival. It's something that I had to have to survive. And for me, my staff is something that I have to survive. My plan in life was to be a professional football player. Had a little sin at that, and own my own restaurant. So I went to school. I got a bachelor of science degree in hotel and restaurant management. Wow. That would appear to be as far from strength and conditioning as you would think, but actually it wasn't, because to run a restaurant, you got to know a little bit about nutrition. So I took nutrition classes. I took a lot of cooking classes. Then the management, I had to learn a lot about management, the business side, how to run the books, how to run a property, and how to work with people. And so that was a good background for me in terms of nutrition, sports nutrition, just to be able to understand just a little bit about food. And then management is about people. I read a book when I was younger. I read two books that were probably very influential at a very rough time when I was a assistant strength and conditioning coach. I read Bobby Bowden's Bowden's Way.
Yeah,
and I read Jesus CEO. I read those two books just to grow professionally and personally, and they actually helped to shape my vision of how I would treat my staff. And I vowed that none of my staff members would ever have to feel like they would have to get out of the profession, because they could not, they would not be able to raise a family, support a family, and do this profession. So just having a few of those experiences, and just knowing how important staff are and how important people are, you know, the old saying, you know, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And for me, my staff is important. My athletes, we're role models for our athletes. And they see us as a unit. They see us as a family. They see us as a team. when we lift together, it's something serious. We started what we called the strength staff mafia. It was just, it's just a mentality when we were training, and these coaches on my staff are everywhere. You know, in 2004, Shannon Turley, who's at Stanford now, Kyle Scazzotti, who's at Baylor now, Josh Stoner, who's at Coastal Carolina, Antoine Floyd, who's now the assistant strength coach at Houston, Sean Ettinger, who's at Eastern Illinois. We got strength coaches that are doing, winning at a high level all over the place. And right, it's something that we all take pride in, the fact that, that we work together, we share together. When we have information on this staff, it's for everyone's benefit. Is that we don't have someone saying, well, this is what I do with my team. These are our teams, right, and we're assigned to our teams. And we have that responsibility, and our athletes see it. It's important. You know, I can keep talking, but we can get to more questions.
No, man. This is what one of the things that I respect the most about your all's program, and watching your strength coaches operate and talk to them individually, and having, you know, I had Kaz Gazzotti on my staff for a while, and picking his brain. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, you guys really create a culture of you know, free will, free, you know, constant information, continually learning, but then turn around and quite a bit of accountability within the structure as well, you know. And so talk a little bit about, you know, in those staff meetings, you know, when you're standing up there and you know, you can't, you know, this is the hardest part for strength coaches. I mean, the strength coaches are out there. I tell staff all the time, you don't really truly understand what it means to be a strength coach until you sat in the head strength coach chair, you know, because, you know, when you're ultimately responsible for, you know, the accountability and the discipline and the direction of the program and the energy level of the program, you don't really understand what that means. You can always kind of sit there and point, well, I'd do this or I'd do that. But when you're there, it's different. And when you are there, you realize you can't do it by yourself. You know, you got to have everybody contributing, you know, different aspects. So, you know, maybe talk a little bit about how you divvy up your responsibilities on your staff and then how you hold them accountable.
Well, it's just like in a restaurant. Well, you have the people at the front desk. You have the people that you never see, the night auditors. You have the people that are responsible for catering. You have the people that are responsible for checking coats in and valet. All of these working parts have to work well at a high level, because if you have a bad experience at the front desk, it doesn't matter how well the housekeeper did. Right. If the housekeeper doesn't keep the room clean, it doesn't matter how well the marketing was. And so for me, that's a mentality that everyone has a responsibility, and you're held accountable to your responsibilities. And it's my job to help you with your responsibilities and help you grow professionally with those responsibilities. So I sit in senior staff meetings, which is comprised of all of our athletic directors and directors in the athletic department. And that meeting is held once a week. So our athletic director, Mike Alden, sits at the head of the table pretty much. And there's a certain way that those meetings are conducted. And so we have a format. We have an agenda when we have our meetings. My right-hand person is sitting on my right-hand side. Sitting right next to me on my left-hand side is Jana Heitmeyer, who's our director of sports nutrition and our director of Olympic sports. And it works all the way around the circle to opposite of me are our interns. And so in these meetings, we have everybody on our staff. We'll meet once a week. We'll do a staff cleaning for 60 minutes as a staff. Everybody on staff is cleaning. Directors do have options to, if you have something that you need to prepare the last minute for the meeting, you do have the option to get that done. But after that, we do a 2-hour staff meeting, then we go to lunch together every Thursday from 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock every Thursday. We block that off of our schedule. Like I said, if the staff isn't together, then the department isn't together. And if the department is weak, the one thing about people in our profession, what we need to understand is that the best leadership will get the resources. So there's no infinite amount of resources that you have as an athletic department. If your budget is $60 million or $70 million and you have $500,000 to $1 million allocated to your strength and conditioning department, well, sports medicine, equipment operations, the academics, grounds crew, everyone is pooling from the same bank, basically. And athletic people in athletic administration make decisions on leadership and professionalism. And so that's what people in our, you need to understand that people in administration will never understand what we do. It's our job as athletic performance, strength and conditioning, sports nutrition, whoever we may be, or whatever we may call ourselves, to educate our administrators on what we do. And that's the way it works. It doesn't work the other way around. There's no, don't get frustrated because they don't understand what we do. They will never understand. I'm in those meetings every week. They will never understand. But it's my job to educate. That's our job to educate. So that's what our staff meetings are about. It's about the business side of what we do. And we have an agenda. We go around. We do old news. We start with the minutes. Someone read the minutes. Someone is typing the minutes. We have pages of we have someone typing, the best typer on staff. That's their job. That's Mackenzie Holznick. She's phenomenal. And she, after the meeting, she emails the minutes or the notes to everyone on staff in case there was someone that was not available to meet, that everybody's on the same page. And when we go around the table, you have to talk about your staff responsibilities and where you're at, if they're in progress, if they're complete, what other resources or people you need to help you accomplish what you've been assigned or what you volunteered for. I love for young staff members to volunteer for new projects. And everyone's encouraged to find their niche on staff. And so someone may have been a DJ back when they were high school. Well, guess what? You got the music. Yep. And if you're too busy, then it's your job to show someone else how to do the music. And that way you have responsibilities. You have ownership in what we're doing. And you know that if you don't get your job done, we're not who we need to be.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned in there athletic administration and the role there, and you're absolutely right there. It's one of those things that you always hear that you're hired and fired by people that don't truly understand your position or your role, you know. And so it's our opportunity. I look at it as an opportunity, just like you do, to educate them on what we do and the importance of that. And if you go and talk to the athletes and if you run a good program, they'll point to the strength and conditioning area as the most important area in the building. But that, somehow that gets missed going up the chain a lot of times, you know. And so what are some ways that you've gone about developing a great relationship with your athletic administration to where they completely trust you and then turn around and give you the resources that you need to be able to build what's arguably one of the better, the best programs in the country right now?
Well, one thing is they have to know, they have to trust me. To trust me, what I used to do, I used to call it walking the halls. And I would, when I first got to Missouri, back to Missouri, I would walk the hall. So I would knock on the door, stick my head in every office and administration and say, hey, how's everything going? I was just walking through, just wanted to say hi. How's your family? All right, take care. Knock on the next door. Hey, how's it going? How's everything going? How's your wife doing? Hey, how's your kids doing? On and on and on, developing those relationships with the administration. They need to feel comfortable. Most of them are intimidated by us. And we have to accept that fact. We don't have to intimidate our administration. They're, for the most part, already intimidated. We get 300-pound big beast to do what most people can't. And that's the way they see it. That's the way they see it. So we can show our softer side with administration. My dad taught me, he said, use your finesse. You can use your strength when it's time to use your strength, but you got to know when to use your finesse. And so I use finesse with administration because a lot of them are women too, as well.
Sure.
And I take a standpoint that they really don't know, and I'm not being condescending when I'm talking to them. I had to learn a lot in this profession. I had to hire exercise scientists and exercise physiologists and hire people that work that are good at physical therapy, and I had to educate myself and learn and get my master's in those types of areas, and I was interested in sports psychology, so I had to educate myself. Well, I also have to educate the people around me so that they better understand, knowing that they won't ever fully understand.
Absolutely. I think you hit something that is one of the things that I struggle with personally, but you know, as a strength and conditioning coach, you can't be an expert in all those areas, you know, and you know, especially when you come from, you know, restaurant management degree. I have a master's degree in adult education. I mean, those things weren't, I mean, that's not exercise phys or you know, the nuts and bolts of how the body works necessarily. But what you do is you have to show a little bit of vulnerability by allowing people to come in and educate you in the process. Now, like you said, you got to maintain a level of organization hierarchy, but bringing those people in, you know, that's not a negative thing. You know, so many people hire, you know, just people that they can bully around as opposed to people that can really truly contribute to the program. So when you're hiring your strength staff, what are some of the things that you're looking for?
Someone that cares about people first and foremost, and someone that cares about learning. So many people on our staff here are continuing their education. And I mean beyond master's degrees. Jana Heitmeyer, for instance, went to college for 7 more years after she graduated from college just to be a nutritionist. And there were people that were upset that she was operating as a nutritionist, not in Missouri, but outside of Missouri, that she was operating as a nutritionist. But, you know, that's the desire that she had, that she wanted to bring to the table. That was her passion. Brian Mann, he's the first guy to kind of start this PhD thing on our staff, said, you know, I think I can really bring something to the table. And if you've ever talked to Brian, just tell him to slow it down for you.
That's right.
Just break it down for me, B, please. And he can read a research article and break it down for you in 5 minutes. And that's his passion. That's his gift. And that's important. And so if I have a question about anything, I can go to Brian and he'll have it. He'll have an answer for me 30 minutes tops. And that's valuable. That is not my gift. I think of myself as a pretty intelligent guy, but you know, that guy can do some special things with reading and interpretation. So
isn't that amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing. I got a son that's 13. My son just took the ACT as a 13-year-old, you know, and I promise you that joker is going to score higher than I did at 13 years old. I don't even think twice, but his brain and my brain don't work the same way. I can promise you that. And that sounds like Brian as well. But, you know, you mentioned that you have, you know, Brian's a PhD. You got some people, maybe some other strength coaches working on it as well. You recently went back and got your PhD in sports psychology. What was the reasoning behind going back and getting a PhD in the first place, let alone something that is maybe not necessarily, you know, exercise science or exercise science related, but something that's going to benefit your athletes, obviously.
Right. Well, I think you ask every strength coach in the nation, and they'll if you ask them who's responsible or who do you think should be the person, the go-to person to helping your athletes get their minds right, I think every strength and conditioning coach is going to look in the mirror and say, that's me.
That's right.
I'm that guy because every strength coach has had players come to them and say, hey, coach, can you help me get my mind right? Every one of us have had that. So I go back to 2007. We're playing in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma. We were ranked number one in the nation at the time. And we lost that game. Oklahoma came out and beat us pretty good. And one of our captains, he's crying after the game. And he says, coach, what's missing? We did everything right. And I did not have an answer for him. And as a coach, that breaks your heart when your athletes ask, you know, what could I have done more? What could we have done more? And you don't have an answer.
Right.
You know, so the one thing I discovered after that is that from a mental standpoint, you know, we weren't where we needed to be. And I looked at myself and said, you know, I have guys asking me, coach, what's missing? And I've got an idea what's missing. It's that mental component, training that mental component. Mental conditioning is what we call it. And pretty fortunate here because Dr. Rick McGuire, who was our track coach here for 27 years, he was one of the first sports psychology for the USOC. And he's one of the go-to people for sports psychology with the United States Olympic track team. And he retired 4 years ago and became our director of sports psychology. And he had been my go-to person since I was an athlete here, right. Since I came back here as a director. You catch him in the hallway, ask one question, and it's going to take an hour for him to answer. And he's a really sharp guy. We all call him Yoda. He's that kind of guy. And, you know, he just encouraged me, you know, you might want to consider taking a class. Right. And that class turned into several classes. And 3 years later, it turned into a PhD.
How about that? Well, that's fantastic. And that, you know, and that just shows, you know, one of the things from that we fight as a profession is that this profession, you know, strength and conditioning right now, in a lot of respects, it's one of the greatest, it's the greatest job in the world. I think we both agree with that. But it's, in a lot of ways, it's not a profession yet because we don't have necessarily coaches retiring being strength and conditioning coaches, you know. And so we have to change that perception of our profession. We have to change how we operate as a culture and profession. And I know you're doing that, you know, through writing books. You recently wrote a book. You're the professionalism that you're showing with your staff at conferences and in their level of education. You're doing that. I know you're active in both organizations. You know, what are some things that you think that we need to do as a profession right now to bring about a better situation for us all down the road?
That's a very good question. We have to understand what professionalism is. What is the definition of professional? Is it the way you dress? Is it the way you act? Is it the way you talk? Is it how you write? Is it how you can you conduct a meeting like a professional? Can you walk across the field like head coaches and shake the other strength coach's hand after every game, win or lose? Can you do that? I've got a problem with that.
Right.
And so that's just, I'll move on from there. But there are some things that we have to understand what professionalism is before we can be it or do it. And that's the one thing I've always tried to do is be an example of that. And we have fun. And when if you catch us out at dinner, you might say, I don't know about the professionalism of these guys. But that's just us enjoying each other, having fun with each other. But when it's time to work, you know, it's we look at that as showtime. Right. And for us, professionalism is a big deal. You want to talk about getting raises? I learned from Boyd Epley a long time ago. And he spent 5 hours with me when we played at Nebraska, 3 hours on a Friday, 2 hours on game day when I was a GA. And I learned what professionalism was.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours. He showed me a future projects legal on a legal notepad. He had 3 pages of things that he was thinking about doing.
Wow.
Each one thing on each line, things that he was just ideas. You talk about raising money. So we have a Mizzou Performance Club. We raise our own money. We raise about $20,000 to $30,000 a year that we can spend on whatever we want to. Boyd said that when they had the Husker Power Club going, they had commercials,
yeah,
at movie theater for people to donate to the Husker Power Club. You go to the movies in Lincoln, Nebraska, and there's Husker Power. Before you watch your movie, you're looking at Husker Power, how to donate money to the program.
That's right.
That's incredible. And he was full of ideas like that. Extreme professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's there are great examples of professionals out there in our profession, and just seek those people out and just pick their brains.
Well, you know, I think, and this is something that is a soapbox for me, and I've even talked about it on the show, but it's giving back to the profession. I mean, it's why I do this show. It's why I speak regularly. It's why, you know, it's not because of any kind of branding or marketing or any kind of bull crap like that. It's because I've had some people give back to me through my process, and I feel obligated to turn around and turn around and give that back to a profession that's given me so much. And I know you do too. And you know, when I hear coaches not willing to speak at the national conference or not willing to write an article for one of the national publications or something along those lines, it just baffles me, because we're all busy. We're all got things we got going on. But, you know, but when you're a true professional, you'll find the time to do that. And when you're connected that way, then you also don't let things like a five strength coach rule or 30% protein or this or that or the other kind of get slip through the cracks either, you know?
Right.
So, you know, for one, I appreciate what you do and you know, I continue to set the bars and an example for other people to follow. I truly appreciate that. We kind of end the show. I know you got to get going. You know, we always end the show with some resources here. So give me a quote that you guys live by, maybe one that's plastered up in your weight room.
Wow. The only easy day was yesterday. That one, and we got that one from the Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
And there's a quote also by Dan Devine is, what I gave, I have, and what I didn't, I lost forever. And, what that means is if you gave it, if you invested, then you got the return. If you didn't invest, then there's no return to get. And, the only easy day was yesterday, turn it up. Well, you know, like the players say, turn up.
That's right.
And, you know, you got to bring it every day, every day.
Give me maybe a strength and conditioning book and a book outside of strength and conditioning that you recommend.
Wow, one of my former graduate assistants gave me the five love languages.
That's good.
And at first I didn't know what to think about that. And I read it, and something that's been able to help me in my professional life and my personal life. Just being able to relate to people even better. And obviously, as a coach, the better you can reach your athletes, the more effective coach you're going to be.
No doubt.
And anything that can help you at home, you got to go with that, too. You got to.
Yeah. How about that? I learned, my wife and my daughter, their love language is touch and you know, and all that. My other daughter, her love language is objects. So she's costing me a fortune right now at 13 years old. You know? But no, yeah. That's a good one. That's a really good book. What about, you know, when you're surfing the net, you know, what are some websites that you check out for some information?
Well, you know, Elite Fitness is a great resource for, I think, all of us. But the internet is, and you just type in a search and there's so much that comes up.
I'm losing you. You still there?
Still there?
Yeah. Talk for a second. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I lost you there for a second. Let's pick it back up where you're talking about Elite Fitness.
Elite Fitness is a great resource, I think, for a lot of people in our profession. I'm probably getting most of my information now from Twitter. I'm the people that I want to follow, you know, when they post a link to a tweet, you know, just about every day I'm finding something that I can share with people on my staff, or retweet, or forward it up the chain up to my supervisors or the head coach. You know, Twitter's been huge for me. I'm on Twitter for information more so than I am on the internet now.
Yeah, you know, I haven't, and that's one of the ones that I haven't really fully got myself into yet, but I will.
Oh, you have to. It's awesome. It's anything that you can think of that is out there and it's happening right now.
Yeah, that's cool. What about, I know Twitter is an app, but maybe give me an app that maybe you guys are using from a productivity standpoint, time management or something, or maybe like something you're using with your athletes to track or something.
All right. Well, see, that stuff is happening so fast. I'll start with the staff. Just the simple GroupMe app, we think is the best thing that we've done.
GroupMe,
because we're able to communicate with each other really fast. So it's like group text, except for the fact if you got Android and iPhone, you can't do the group text if someone is Android and your iPhone. But if you do group me, you can.
Okay.
And so that way, little things like who didn't lock up the refrigerator last night, or who's picking up shakes for wrestling to take over to wrestling. Little things like that from a communication standpoint, that's been huge for us. As far as apps that we're using with athletes, we're trying to, because there's so much out there right now, and mm-hmm. what's applicable, what's really applicable, and what really helps. And we're not really convinced right now of something that's strong enough to pull us as a department towards any one thing right now. Right. I think we're all testing things out, and you know, we've been using Omega Wave for years, and the what they have is awesome. There are a lot of things out there right now. One thing I think we need as a profession is, all of this exercise science. How many of us have exercise scientists on our staff? Mm-hmm. Real exercise scientists. How are you going to apply a catapult? How are you going to apply the polar heart rate monitoring system? How are you going to apply all of these things?
Right.
And I know there's monitoring being done, but how are we doing it? Where's the research that's been done to help us all out? Because there's a lot out there. Right?
Or going back to what we were talking about earlier about professionalism, why aren't we the ones putting the research out?
You know, right. Right.
You know, that's something that is another thing. You know, that's a pet peeve, and we got to create that culture. You know, to where we're able to do that. And I know there's standards with, you know, with the university and all that kind of things. But, you know, we need to be trying to contribute to the community as well, you know, and that, right. that doesn't have to just be, you know, set rep stuff, but it could be all these different things that we've been talking about throughout the episode. But
that's true. You know, you have different sides of the argument when you're talking about performance training, because you have physicians and you have doctors, you have trainers, you have physical therapists, you have all of these people that are working to trying to integrate the services what you're providing for the student athletes, but it's that something that I think we're missing is the science right. on our end.
I agree.
Because the trainers, the physicians, they have a lot of research that back up what they do, and for us, we're doing a lot of things on the cutting edge, which is a good thing. But as far as it being validated, we're not quite there yet.
No doubt. No doubt. I agree 100%, man. Well, Pat, I know you need to get going, man. I truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your information with us today. Where should coaches be able to, you know, stay up with you and what you got going on? I know you mentioned Twitter earlier. What are some other places?
Twitter. We have MU Athletic Performance. We have our own YouTube channel. That you can Performance Unleashed, Twitter, I'm on there. We also have department Twitter account. I'm not really out there as much as I probably should be. I don't do a good enough job probably marketing myself or what we do. And that's something I can do a better job at.
Because you're in the trenches, and that's the most important thing for all of us, you know. But I do, you know, good people like yourself that are doing phenomenal things in the profession. We need to be sharing that because you know it's as a whole we got some growth to do as a community, and that's why we do the show, and I know that's why you do some of the things that you do as well. So thanks a lot for coming on, man. Truly appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron. Keep it up. Take care.
All right, guys. A couple quick things before we let you go. As usual, all the information that we mentioned in the episode can be found in the show notes at ronmckeefrey.com. Just search for Pat Ivey or episode 38, and you'll be able to access that there. While you're there, go ahead and make sure you sign up for our mailing list. When you do, you get a free ebook with quotes and whatnot, but you know, you get weekly emails from me letting you know who the latest episode is with, what's the latest Tribe TV video, and, you know, any kind of information that pops up throughout the week that I'd like to share with you. Also want to make sure you check out Football Strong Canada. That's coming up May 3rd, 2014 in Toronto. I'm very excited about that event. It's going to be a great event. So if you're up in that area or you'd like to attend, go to footballstrong.com. And lastly, you know, as usual, you can always subscribe to these episodes either via iTunes or YouTube. So if you're a visual person, you know, YouTube, just go and subscribe. If you're, you know, if you're wanting to listen to this in the car or while you're working out or something along those lines, you can go to iTunes and download the episodes there, subscribe. And then either place, if you wouldn't mind, I would appreciate a rating and review. I truly do take what you guys put in those reviews to heart and try to make this the best show for everyone. So hope that you enjoy this episode. Make sure that in the comment section you let Pat know how much you would appreciate him coming on the show. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.